pride was the first sin to ever darken God's universe. Satan looked at himself in the mirror. He was a beautiful, stunning, glorious archangel. And he ascended up towards heaven, literally to overthrow the Creator, which shows me he had lost his satanic mind.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are starting a new message we're calling A Woman and a Dragon. This is the eighth chapter on the series called The End, Revelation Unfolds. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
In today's message, we encounter a woman and a dragon that represent Israel, the Christ child that would come forth from her, and Satan, who tries to destroy the child as soon as he is born. It's an amazing view of how Satan tried to destroy the baby Jesus through Herod. I know this is going to bless and intrigue you. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, A Woman and a Dragon. I thought it'd be good if we just kind of summarized our journey thus far, because you deal with so many things in the Revelation that it can really become muddled. And so I want us to sort of stay on track with all of this. So let's just kind of summarize, starting at the beginning and just moving on through, and we can do this quickly. Chapters 1 through 3 in the Revelation opened up with the glorified Messiah appearing to John with a message to seven different churches. Then in chapter 4, John is taken up into heaven, and he is told that he's about to be shown things, this is important, that will soon take place, and that tells us that this is going to be a prophetic word. John, I'm about to show you things that are going to take place in the future. I'm about to prophesy to you, John. Then in chapter 5, a drama unfolds. And you remember this drama. A scroll with seven seals appears. And there's nobody found worthy to open it. And this reality causes John to weep. He can't believe that in all of God's green earth and heaven, there's not one being worthy to open the scroll, the seven seals. And then you remember that Jesus steps forward as the Lamb of God, and he opens the seals, and he alone was worthy. Now in chapter 6, six of the seven seals are opened. The first four are the dreaded horsemen of the apocalypse that we all have heard so much about. And those four horsemen release the Antichrist, war, famine, and plague upon the earth. And let's keep in mind that though these judgments are very severe, so is the sin of man. Amen. Listen, when I read my Bible, it's very clear to me that our God doesn't judge until there's no other option. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he chooses mercy over judgment. Amen. But there comes a time when, hey, it's clear to God, nobody's going to repent. There's never going to be a change. This human race, where they are right now, are never going to turn. So the only thing left for me is to judge, and that's what's happening in the book of Revelation. Then the opening of the fifth seal reveals the souls of those who have been martyred, asking God how long before their lives are avenged. And folks, I want to bring to your mind something right now that in the Middle East and around the world, there is a genocide of Christians taking place at the hands of Islam. Amen. If you read the news, watch the news, if you're aware at all of what's going on in the world, even our own Islam-denying government has finally come out and said, yes, there is a genocide being perpetrated against Christians on the part of Islamic radicals, though they didn't call them Islamic radicals, but I'll call them, because that's what they call themselves. So they're going to be there as well. Right now, there are people being martyred. They're going to be at this altar in heaven, saying, Lord, how long before you avenge our lives? Well, then the opening of the sixth seal releases cosmic catastrophes with the moon turning red as blood, the sun being obscured, and meteorite showers pummeling the earth. It is major, major stuff going on. in the tribulation period. And John vividly records mankind's response to the heart-stopping scene of all this stuff happening in the heavens. Chapter 6, verses 15 to 17 reads, "The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" Listen, folks, you're looking at something frightening. If you would rather have mountains fall on you than face it. And that's going to be the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus came as the mild, meek Lamb that died for our sins. But here he's manifested as the judge of the earth. Amen. And every person is going to face Jesus one way or the other. Every human being will. Either covered in the blood or to give account for your sins. But every person is going to meet Jesus. And every tongue will confess, say it with me, that he is Lord, including the devil. I'm looking forward to that. In chapter 7, we saw 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, sealed by God to be witnesses during the Great Tribulation. So, folks, the Great Tribulation, terrible as it is going to be a time of high-level evangelism. We also saw a vast multitude. No man could number of the redeemed worshiping God in heaven. Heaven is going to be a major, major worship session, so you might as well get warmed up here. And get your hands up during church services and don't be a frozen chosen. Get your hands up and learn to worship God, because the day is coming when, hey, we're going to be lost in worshiping the one who made us. Amen? Now, chapter 8 reveals the seventh seal opened by the Lamb, the last of the seals. And a great silence falls upon the inhabitants of heaven, for the seventh seal portends the next series of judgments known as the seven trumpet judgments. And it's going to go from the seal judgments to the trumpet judgments to the bowl judgments, 21 in all, and they increase in severity with each judgment. Now, the first four trumpets are blown in chapter 8. With these fearsome trumpets, a third of Earth's ecology is burned up. A third of marine life is destroyed, a third of Earth's clean water is turned bitter, and a third of the heavens is turned dark. Everybody say, woe is me. Heavy stuff. Chapter 9 sees the fifth trumpet blown, releasing demonic locust-like creatures. These are not helicopters, as some have taught. This is not John seeing future military machinery. The Bible says they come out of the abyss of hell. These are demon spirits. And he says they look like locusts. Well, I'll just leave that with John. That's what he saw. And they torment mankind for 5 months. That's in chapter 9. The sixth trumpet then blows, and four angels stationed at the Euphrates River are released to kill a third of mankind. Now, in your book, it says they are released to dry up the Euphrates. That was a misprint. So just scratch through it or right above it. They are stationed at the Euphrates River, and they're released to kill a third of mankind, and I'll fix it in the second edition. You have a marred edition. That means it's a trophy. Now, let's move on. In chapter 10, a mighty angel, who is likely the Lord Jesus himself, stands with one foot in the sea and another on the land, and he declares that time is no longer. Then in chapter 11, we observe two witnesses that prophesy in the streets of Jerusalem for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And midway through the tribulation, when Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation, these two witnesses are killed, but they are raised from the dead 3.5 days later by God while the whole world watches. I can't wait for CNN's cameras to melt. Amen. We also saw in chapter 11 that the temple is going to be rebuilt on its ancient site, even though what is now the Dome of the Rock occupies that spot. Now, finally, in chapter 11, the seventh trumpet sounds. And this last trumpet releases yet another great worship session in heaven, followed by flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm on earth. All right, that's a quick run-through. Now let's go right to chapter 12 and an amazing sight. as chapter 12 opens, John is going to be given by Jesus a flashback into recent and ancient history for the purpose of identifying and explaining the first of seven intriguing characters introduced in the end times that we meet in both chapters 12 and 13, and that's going to be the great dragon. So look at Revelation 12, verse 1, and let's read. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now, people read this and they go, wow, you know, that's why I can't understand Revelation, because it's so much symbology. But this one's easy. The woman John saw is Israel, both historical Israel and as represented in Bible prophecy. Because we go to Genesis 37 and we see Joseph's dream. Joseph had a dream. How many of you remember Joseph? Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the sun and moon and 12 stars. And these are clearly Israel. Let's read Genesis 37, verse 9. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. He said, listen, I've had another dream. Okay, this is his first mistake, because his brothers hated him after this dream. But he said, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, hey, they bowed low before me. And how did Jacob, his father, interpret this dream? Look what Jacob says in verse 10. What kind of dream is that? Jacob asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Now, what does Jacob's response tell us? That Jacob saw that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars was talking about them. Jacob and his family. And of course, we know that Jacob and his 12 sons comprised the embryonic nation of Israel. And so the great wonder that John saw was the pregnancy of Israel. Look at Revelation 12, verse 2. He says, John goes on and says, she was pregnant, the she being Israel. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Now, of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. This is none other than a symbolic picture of Israel represented in Mary's pregnancy, bringing forth a wonder child, Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is the ultimate fulfillment of the purpose for the Jewish race given to Abraham way back in Genesis 12, 3. And it says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now let me ask you a question. How are all the families of the earth blessed? Through Jesus. So the vision that John saw, here's this woman, and she's pregnant, and he associates her with the sun, moon, and the stars. Jacob said, you're talking about us. So clearly, this is a symbolic picture of Mary representing Israel becoming pregnant with the Christ child and giving birth to the Christ child. Now, next we meet a dragon in verse 3. Revelation 12, 3 says, then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns with seven crowns on his heads. Don't let the heads and the crowns throw you. I'm going to explain it. But let's talk about the dragon. The dragon is clearly the devil. 13 times in Revelation, he's called a dragon. His seven heads depict the evil perfection of his influence on civilization's progress. Remember, seven represents perfection. He has seven heads. And the 10 horns, we're going to look at that a lot more in the next couple of weeks to come, but the 10 horns are a prediction of the final alignment of Gentile world powers that will come into league with Antichrist. We'll also see this seven-headed 10-horned beast in later chapters depicting Antichrist's evil political system. Satan will work through a 10-nation confederacy in order to enthrone his Antichrist as the world ruler. See, there will be two people on the world stage. Number one, who we're about to read about even more in chapter 13, Antichrist. Working with him is called the false prophet, another man. This false prophet is like the Antichrist, evil John the Baptist. And this false prophet's job is to point to the Antichrist and say, he's your man, there's your guy, that's your man, that's the one you need to be looking to and following. And this false prophet will do signs and wonders and miracles under the supernatural power of the devil and not of God. And together, one is a political ruler, the other is a religious ruler. And together, they seize the attention of the entire world.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire. I wanted to let you know that to make our study even more effective through the book of Revelation, we're offering a book that I've written that contains the very words you're hearing on the radio, along with helpful illustrations and all the Bible verses I'm quoting. You'll literally be able to sit down with your book and follow along word for word. The book is called The End, and for a special price of just $10, we'll get it right to you. Just go to our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And once at the website, scroll down to Resource, click on the book, The End, and enter the discount code BOOK2018. That discount code is BOOK2018. I know this resource is going to add to your enjoyment and understanding as we travel together through the incredible book of Revelation. Now, back to the message.
Now, next, John is given a historical review of Satan's rebellion and fall prior to the Garden of Eden. Look at verse 4. His tail, that is the tail of the dragon, swept away one-third of the stars, and stars is Astaroth, and can easily mean messengers or angels, and that's what this is talking about. His tail swept away one-third of the stars, angels, in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. Now, we know from what the Bible tells us that one-third of the angels of God rebelled with Lucifer against God before the world was ever created. Have you ever stopped to think that when we meet the devil, he's already judged? When Genesis introduces us to the devil, he's already judged. He's been thrown down. He is a disembodied spirit. He is evil. He is wicked. He's no longer a glorious archangel, the light bearer, Lucifer, but he has been judged. And we find him immediately trying to undermine the creation of God. So John is being given a vision, sort of a review. He's being taken back into ancient history before the world was even created, and he's seeing how the devil was judged. These fallen angels that he took with him, one-third of the angels went with him, one-third of them followed him. And these angels, there had to be millions of them because God created so many angels, and a third is a lot. These fallen angels are the principalities and powers that we do battle with all the time. Found in Ephesians 6. We battle not against flesh and blood, but what do we battle? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's talking about, that is identifying the satanic hierarchy of fallen angel spirits that are now demons. It's these fallen angels that were terrified of Jesus, that recognized Jesus, that spoke through people they had possessed and talked to Jesus and said, please don't send us into the abyss. Please don't send us to the bottomless pit. And the Bible says over and over again, they knew who he was. They knew who Jesus was. Mankind may not have known, but they knew. These are the fallen angels. The record of this ancient satanic rebellion against God is found in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 17. Let's just read Isaiah's account. He says, how you are fallen from heaven, Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. So we're not wondering who he's talking about. Son of the morning, how you are cut to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart. Now we're about to read about the first sin that ever darkened God's universe. It didn't happen with Adam and Eve. The first sin happened in the heart of Satan. Look at this. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In other words, I'm going to be God. And pride entered his heart. Pride was the first sin to ever darken God's universe. Pride. Amen. Satan looked at himself in the mirror. He was a beautiful, stunning, glorious archangel. Perhaps the leader of the archangels. And his beauty overtook him. And he said, you know what? I ought to be God. And he ascended up towards heaven, literally to overthrow the Creator, which shows me he had lost his satanic mind. Seriously. Because, hey, he's the one that made me. He says in verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. You shall be brought down to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, that's the story of Satan's fall. That's the red dragon in Revelation. And John is being shown this by Jesus for a reason, because of where now the narrative is going. Next, as John looks on, he sees a satanic attempt to kill the child Jesus. So this devil, this Satan, Lucifer, who tried to overthrow God, but now has been cast down, has lost his archangel glory, but he still has power. Now jumping down the tunnel of time by many centuries, Jesus is about to be born. And look what it says in verse 4. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. This is exactly what took place, folks, through the wicked King Herod when Jesus was born. We read this every Christmas, but I'll read it again because we need to put it into context here. Matthew 2, 16 to 18 says, Herod was furious when he realized the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, and based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Verse 17, Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, where he said, a cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. And that was the prophet predicting what Herod would do. And what Revelations is doing is letting us behind the veil to see what was happening in the spirit realm. If you had lived in Jesus' day in the time of Herod, when Herod did this, and you didn't know God, you would have just seen a wicked ruler releasing a terrible decree. You would have heard the crying of all the moms who lost their boys 2 years old and under at Herod's command, but you would not have been able to see beyond the veil the red dragon who was on the hunt for the child Jesus and wanted to take him out before his redemptive purpose could be fulfilled. Powerful stuff. That's why I like the Revelation. It takes us behind the scenes, and it shows us that to the natural eye, things just happen. You know, there's a kind of a random play of events, and we use words like fate or luck or things like that. But, you know, when you can see into the spirit world, you see that there are things going on in the spirit world that cause what we see in the natural to take place. Amen. We're in a war, and John is being given a vivid vision of this war, this great red dragon sitting, I just picture it, with his mouth open, this dragon waiting to devour the Christ child. But God wouldn't let it happen. Now look what it says in verse 5. John's supernatural trip back through history continues as he witnesses the birth and victory of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, she, that is Israel, and of course we know Mary, gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted LifeTalk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled, A Woman and a Dragon. In this series called, The End, Revelation Unfolds. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.